koutou and welcome to South Pacific Muscle. And we're into 2021 already, second episode for the year. And tonight we have got, it's an all family affair here. It's a Stay Grisby episode. We've got Georgia Patching, competitor in both bikini and figure this year at Tournament of Champions. And her great supporter, Auntie Shano, I believe it's the name you've been given, buddy.
Yep, Auntie Shano. Kia ora.
Good to have you here. Awesome. Hey, look, Georgia, I did see you on stage when I was at Tournament of Champions. I have seen you in the flesh, and it was a pretty good debut, I've got to say, at 20 years old. So, you know, do you want to tell us a bit about how you got into training and early on days of sports, etc., and what got you where you were earlier this last year?
Yeah, sure, love to. Thanks for that. So for me, kind of got into the bodybuilding scene in 2017. I'd always been like into sports and grew up playing so many different sports: touch, rugby, sevens, swimming, cricket, netball, yeah, all of them pretty much. So I went to Manukura, which is a sports school here in Palmerston North, and I kind of leaned a bit more off the team sports and went into our individual, so got more into gym training and started to like, I was obviously training a lot at Manukura and yeah, in a calorie deficit, so I started to get really lean and shredded, kind of like the look, so kept going, but I just lacked that nutrition knowledge, and yeah, it was a big learning curve. I got down to probably about 47 kgs, pretty lean, and just really a six pack, so stepped on stage at about 53, 54, so I was pretty happy with that. Nice. That weight increase. And then yeah, we're through a bit of a rough time 2017. Mum, she wasn't too well. She got diagnosed with cancer in 2016, so yeah, that had a big impact on our whānau, and after Mum passed away, Shano, he reached out to me, so I was real grateful for that. So that was about 2018, and reached out just a toe took on āwhina, because when he was young, his dad passed away, so he kind of knew what the waka I was on, and yeah, and just yeah, pretty grateful to have that toe talker ever since, and yeah, just like growing up and learnt a lot and alongside Shane. And 2018 was a pretty good year. Started to eat some more food, I put on like 10 kgs from maybe in a year or something. So pretty happy with that.
There's not too many girls that go, I had a great year, I put on 10 kg. So you know, like you obviously you know, your head was in the right place, so you know, I think and obviously with Shane there with some guidance. But what I really kind of take from that is, and this is a common theme, particularly I found it with a lot of the Māori boys and Pacific Island boys, is they draw on their family, on their whānau, and the support that they get and the strength that they get from that. And it sort of allows them to dig through the tough times and push further than what they would have on their own. I guess it's, you know, bring the ancestors along for the journey and bring the family with you and have that in the forefront of your mind. So did that play a big part for you?
Yeah, for sure. Like when I'm training, I'm like spelling out, if I've got 5 reps left, I'll spell out mama, you know, that's like my motivation. And when I think my shit's hard, I'm like, girl, your mum was sick. She passed away from cancer. She was dying. You know, if you think this is hard, you know, keep going.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
I think just to give a little bit more depth on the whole scenario, you know, I grew up in fielding with the Rolls whānau, so George's mum and her brothers and sisters were my peers growing up. Her uncle Ty was one of my best mates growing up at school, and then you know, my father and their fathers and grandfathers and my grandfathers all worked at the freezing works together, so fielding's a very small community, and the Rolls whānau were, you know, like we're all whānau, we grew up that way. So before George's mum passed away, you know, she had reached out to me just seeing if I could give her a bit of attention and guidance around training and nutrition, because she knew Georgia was obsessed with it, but didn't know if it was healthy or not the way she was doing it. Obviously, being a training into the weight, she was very passionate about it, but being in a calorie deficit, and I'd have to just sort of assume she was in, you know, probably around that 600 calorie a day intake or less, which she was getting super shredded, but it just sort of wasn't healthy. So she sort of said, her and her aunties reached out and said, hey, if you get a bit of time, know you're busy, but can you, Georgia loves this. She loves bodybuilding, and she's super passionate about, she's committed to it. Can you just give her a little bit of guidance and direction? So that was not, you know, that was probably a few weeks before G's mama passed away, and I was at Fiji at the time. And then, so when I came back, we connected. And, you know, for her mum and her whānau, I wanted to make sure that I was looking after and taking her under my wing, giving her a little bit of direction. But also because my dad passed away at a young age, I knew what she was going through, and just to turn that sort of situation into a more positive and give you something to focus on. And then also just to make your mum and your dad and your whānau proud, and, you know, don't be caught up in all the bad things or the negative things, you know, turn into a positive. And so just gave G some time and attention. And we went from there. But, you know, with this sport, with bodybuilding and weight training in general, some people have it and some people don't. So when G started coming training with me, I was in comp prep. I'm training 7 days a week. You know, you guys know how I train, couple hours in the morning, couple hours at night. Heaps of drop sets, supersets, giant sets, and she came straight in on leg day, you know what I mean? And it was just like, well, if you want to get amongst it, this is what it's like. And from day one, she hung, you know, she hung with me for those couple of months into the comp prep, and gave her some, just a whole lot of insight of what bodybuilding and training mentally and physically and what it was all about. So, it was a pretty cool experience.
That's that would be a hugely valuable experience for someone coming in new to the sport, to see someone at, you know, I guess, you're sort of like, at that point, you were probably intermediate leaning towards advanced elite bodybuilder, and seeing, you know, walking in with eyes wide open and seeing what it takes at that level. And I think that probably, there were probably a lot of lessons there and a lot of learnings that would have saved you a hell of a lot of time, Georgia.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what Auntie just said, you know, like that year was a big year for me, 2018. And just having him there and to guide me into what I love, like, I could never thank him enough for the experience. It was me, Koro, Joe, we'd all train in the four, do our giant sets, and it would kill me, but I loved every minute. And yeah.
Good shit. It's it kind of reminds me, you know, I used to get a lot of guys used to say, can I come and train with you? This is when I was doing my strongman. And I'd say, yeah, come and join me on whatever day. And on that day, I'd start off on hack squats, and I'd put 10 kilo plates on and fill up the hack squat. And I had to go to failure. Then we took a 10 off each side, go to failure, 10 off each side. And ended up doing 100 something reps or whatever it is. And if they gave up, then that was it. You never got to train with me again. And the guys that hung it out, like Georgia did, you know, hung it out in that real hard, you're giving it everything. And, you know, if they can do that, then they've got what it takes up here, and they've got the heart he is. And I think you obviously saw that in Georgia, Shane.
100%, and that's exactly what it was. And, you know, when you're in that, you know, type of training mode, there's no fucking around, you know what I mean? You can come, and if you can hang, you can hang. But if you can't hang, you're out. And it was simple as that. And it was day by day. And she turned up with, you know, attitude and heart and aggression every single day. And I'm like, man, I can beat this girl up. And she just keeps coming, and she's getting stronger. And, you know, like, and I knew for myself, when my father passed away when I was young, I needed something to focus on, and I needed some direction. I was lost. So I think giving G something to focus on that was positive every day, and something that she was passionate about, and something that she knew her mum was watching over her for, what was really good for her. And it was rewarding for me to see somebody, you know, not be in a positive state of mind, and not be, you know, just upset or mourning like it's easy to really get lost after you lose somebody close. So she was really focused and doing everything for the right thing. But I didn't make no exceptions. It was like, if you can't hang, you're out, you know. And she turned up every day, and she earned the respect of Koro, Ross Darrow. He owns Evolve Fitness and Fielding, and Joe, Mr. Flawless, he owns Flawless Barbershop. She earned their respect too. Like, a lot of people came and went, you know, in that time, and if they couldn't hang, they just couldn't hang. It was as simple as that. But also my wife, Odette, and my daughters and my son, Jack, they accepted G into the family. And even when I did the Wellington show, she came down to and stayed in our hotel with us the night before and the day of. And it was just, this is what it's all about, you know what I mean? So you can come and be a part of it and experience it just like the family. So it was pretty good.
That must have been a good experience, Georgia, for you to see Shane going on stage and what he had to do in the days before and in the hotel room and all those sort of things for you, because most people going into their first show don't really know what's going on and everything's a new experience, but you would have got to see it firsthand and in person. So how did that help you when it came to you getting on stage?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome seeing Auntie Shane go through his prep. Like, I kind of did have a rough idea of, you know, how you feel when you're flat and depleted from being that lean. And yeah, I don't know, I wasn't eating too much, maybe like 1500 calories, but my energy expenditure probably was quite high. So yeah, hence why being in that kind of severe deficit and getting real shredded. But just seeing like the water load, the carb up, and you know, like just a real fine tuning and details was real awesome. Like, he was keeping in contact with Dr. DJ, like, you know, yep, every minute of the day. And yeah, after seeing him compete and like the environment, I was real determined I wanted to get on stage. So 2019 came along, and just wasn't in the right like headspace to be on a prep then. Like, obviously going through the passing of mum and stuff, I did lose a bit of balance. Like, it was just gym diet for me. Like, I had no balance, no nothing whatsoever. So 2019 was a year for me where I kind of built up on that balance and got my mojo and happiness back, and then like realized that, you know, gym and bodybuilding and diet, like, it's all such a big hobby for me, but at the end of the day it's whānau first. So going through the passing of mum, like, it's really like not just helped me in everyday life but in bodybuilding as well, because, you know, like, there's nothing more important than whānau for me. So,
and that's, like, that's my mojo. She's cut from the same cloth as you, isn't she, Shane?
Yeah. Whānau first. And, but also, I think you go through those tough times and you can diet and you can train. You guys know, being bodybuilders, if you can get yourself to the stage, it's a foundation to prepare yourself for anything. You know what I mean? Like, any challenges that come your way become easy because you've done what it takes to get to the stage. And you know, another thing with competing is everybody's journey is different. As much as I think the accomplishment for G doing our show was she made it to the stage. She'd had that passion for 3 or 4 years, you know, she'd dieted and that a couple of times and hadn't quite made it there. So the major accomplishment was for her was to get on the stage. That was the achievement. And I said to her, regardless of where you place, you've already won. Whatever happened from today happened, you know what I mean? And, you know, we were judging, and obviously I never said anything to any of the judges or Mo that were my relationship with Georgia, right? Like, she's there to be judged by the judges as she is. So then it was sort of just funny.
I don't want to know you, Wes.
Yeah, it was funny as she came on and things, and then Mo's like, oh, this girl's pretty good. Oh, she looks pretty young. And then I'd say, oh, you know, she's 20 years old or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And it was sort of just interesting to hear the feedback. Oh, young girl's got a lot of potential, quite a bit of muscle there, and these types of things. So I didn't say anything to the judges about my relationship with G until after the event had taken place, you know? So it was cool to see her get some decent results just off the back of her hard work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, I'm just going to pull one of the questions up because someone has asked that question of Georgia. Said, what class will you focus on competing in going forward? Because I see you've got, you know, you did bikini and figure, and like, you know, Shane mentioned, as judges' feedback, you've got a bit of muscle there. So Shredded Kiwi Dad up in up the line, he has asked the question of you, Georgia. Where do you see yourself going? Is it bikini for you? Is it figure? Is it both? Where are we going?
Oh, well, where do we start there?
Yeah, there's a bit of a story to that.
When I was 8 days out, I came around and Auntie took a look at me. We trained some arms, eh?
You trained arms.
And I was doing some posing after, and he's like, you should do bikini G. And I'm like, 8 days out, you tell me that. I really took that advice positively. Obviously, like, he's one of the judges, and I know that it's more of like a starting point in bikini, so I was really open and like wanting to give it a crack. So it's 6 days out, I learnt the poses for bikini and didn't do
wow. And,
got in
place.
So.
Yeah. So here's the deal. G did some work with me. I helped with nutrition and training and stuff. And then, you know, she's had a couple of other coaches and stuff along the way. And whatever's, we all work different with different people, right? The guy that coaches me isn't ideal for G. So she started working with Connor and getting some really good results. And I sort of watched it from the sideline. I sent him a message and said, hey, choose whānau to me. You know, don't fuck it up. I'm keeping an eye on things. But so far, I like everything that I'm seeing, you know? And she got really, really good results. And I just said, I'll keep an eye on you. Come, you know, a couple of weeks out, touch base. And then she came in, we trained, she looked really good. And I thought, yep, she's on the money, she's looking really good. We had a look and I said, I think you should do bikini. Now, I think a lot of girls struggle to find what category they should be in. I've trained with Angelica, you know, former Miss Bikini Olympia, and a lot of these athletes, they're phenomenal athletes. Like, you know, like to get to that level, it's not easy. Like some, the muscle that they've got, you know what I mean? And the figure girls, at Olympia level, just they're aliens. They're unbelievable. You know, they'll smash me on the stage. So it's like you sort of got to be realistic around where you are and what you can achieve. And even some of the pro girls like Chloe Hunter and Rebecca Mooney and that, like their muscle is phenomenal. You know what I mean? That,
and they sort of look. Those girls train. They train hard, man. Like I,
you see their hamstrings and their glutes and the, and
I felt like biceps.
Yeah.
I actually got cleaned up the other day. My coach has just got me doing hip thrusts. And I went and did them. And then 2 days later, I saw a bikini girl training hers. And she was doing 20 kilos more than what I was doing. And I thought, oh,
yeah.
I just got my ass.
I'll tell you what.
You know?
Yeah. Well, these bikini girls, like the local ones, like Chloe and that, they're training. They're professional. They're IFBB pros. They're training 7 days a week, you know. Are those areas that they need to focus on are lifting some heavy weight, you know, like you said, more than what most bodybuilders are. So even though their body looks achievable, a shit ton of work goes into that, you know what I mean? So I said to G, hey, look, you do have a future in figure, but you're young. You're probably, if you look at Angelica and you look at some of these top girls in New Zealand, you've got to get to that level before you can build muscle on in the other areas to progress in figure. So that's where I said, I think you should double class and see how you stack up, and it'll be a good challenge for you 8 days out to learn the posing, and then go and see, you know, you might do it and you might go, hey, shit, I think you're right, I've still got a lot of muscle to build to max out the bikini class, and then you can adapt and improvise for figure onwards. So yeah, it was a week out, and that's when I sort of said, hey, you got to do bikini, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, I just looked at that and I was like, half full, and yeah, just took that on board and was pretty happy with my result. So yeah, second and during the bikini, that was like out of five. And then I placed last in both my classes for figure, but had a pretty tough lineup against two pretty built chicks. So, but yeah, I'm definitely more passionate about the figure. And yeah, like
gonna double class again until you find your place. Do you think you just sort of do both until.
The other thing too is, I said, you have to compete in the natural federations, you know, like is that you got to compete apples for apples, especially if it figures what you're going afterwards. Some of these girls have been around a whole lot longer and got a lot more experience and muscle mass on the frame. So if you're going for national titles or want to be, you know, achieve certain rankings, et cetera, like you've got to max out where you're at now, you know? So I think she'll do both.
I'll definitely do both. Like, I'm real passionate about both. And, like, the only thing that I don't like about bikini is you see some chicks, they won't train or they'll neglect muscle groups because that's the look. Like, I just want to put on as much muscle as I can, and if bikini's going to hold me back from that, then, you know, I'll progress on to figure when that time's right for me.
Yep, cool.
You got shape for figure, just got to keep... Yeah. Continuously growing, you know.
And let's face it, you're 20 years old, so you've got. I think everyone talking to you at the moment's got at least 25 to 30 years on you, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of an Instagram stalk and saw a lot of your posts there. You're doing side chests and vacuums and lat spreads and things. So I figure you're probably heading towards figure more so than bikini.
Yeah, she didn't realise that you can't do any of those poses, you know what I mean? I go, gee, you're practising all these, like, spreads and this and that, but you can't do those, you know? She goes, can I just do a vacuum or a lat spread?
I was like,
I go, you're probably getting marked down for doing that, but you can't take the bodybuilder out of a bodybuilder, you know?
I guess that's what happened when, you know, she, you know, grew up and first experiences of seeing you compete and watch you doing what you do. It's kind of like, that's now the new norm. So you probably can
do it. It is a little bit, but I'll be honest, right from day one, every time we hit a pose, she'd do a lat spread. Like, how many girls had a lat spread, you know what I mean? And she would have been 17, 18 at the time. I'm like, but you know, we all work, I always flex my quad. Everyone works to their strengths, and her V taper and her back is her strength, so naturally she's gonna hit she's gonna hit that pizza slice, you know, lat spread.
Pizza slice. Awesome. Okay, Mike, do you want to dig into a couple of?
I'm interested to kind of take it back a little bit. 2017, you said that you were in quite a deficit, and you're getting shredded, but weren't putting on muscle, and you're unsure whether it was healthy. Was it intentional in a deficit? Were you in a structured diet, or did it just work out that you didn't know enough about nutrition to eat enough to meet your calorie demands?
I was just kind of tracking on my fitness power. I never really had a coach or anything, and just liking the look of getting lean. So, yeah, that's just kind of what headed me down there. And, you know, multiple sessions at Manukura, it was like you wake up, you do a cardio morning session. Sometimes I play a rugby game, and then I go to the gym after that and the arvo. So, you know,
so like now training,
I know that. Sorry, what was that?
So it was on your energy expenditure. I mean, your calories probably would have been about normal for a young girl your age, but your calorie expenditure was so high that it put you in a consistent deficit.
Yep. Yeah. And I think some of these tracking tools and devices
are inaccurate.
Yeah, like there's so many other variables that contribute, and a lot of the younger kids get caught up on these. You know what I'm saying? And that becomes Bible to them. And like I said, energy. You know, what she was doing in a day, she probably was getting that out of it one meal. You know what I mean? One or two meals. Mm. And then the whole rest of the day is just off your muscle. Yeah. But she was shredded. She was absolutely shredded. Mm. But, just.
Yeah, so I studied, I've been studying at Massey, so I'm doing a Bachelor of Science major in Human Nutrition, minor sport and exercise, and also studying Māori. So I started that degree in 2019, and it's been like a privilege to like understand, especially going through prep, like understand the processes my body's going through, like gluconeogenesis, you know, your body's not getting sufficient carbs, so, you know, you cut into your fats, and that's how you like, you lose your fat. that's been pretty cool to like,
I think
3 years down the track, a lot more knowledge to, you know, understand.
They've got a great facility at Massey too for that, because I probably did the same papers as you're doing now, but like 20 years ago. So they're probably a lot more advanced now, but, you know, learning all the pathways and that. And I think, you know, having that as a base with your experience hands-on in the gym creates a very, very knowledgeable, you know, person. You know, you've got the the lab coat, so to speak, but you got the 20-inch arms that sit with it, you know? So you've done the work in the trenches, you've done the work on the textbooks. That's going to be really helpful for you in the future.
I personally found that having that education background meant that any new piece of information you get, you sort of hang it on the structure of the knowledge that you've already got. So it kind of, rather than just being a random piece of information, it sort of fits in into a structure, having that background with the sort of scientific background and understanding of the way the body works. So real, real useful and valuable. Mm-hmm. So then you start training around to Shane. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Kieran.
You get to practice it. If that's what you're interested in and you're learning about it, you can put it into what you're already doing. And I think that's where G can look back now and know what she did do in the past and what she's been doing and then implement anything new to it. So it sort of makes a whole lot more sense now.
Yeah, for sure.
So you start training with Auntie Shane, just full noise straight into a male competitive bodybuilders program. Did you start out with any, did you do anything different in those early stages? Did you do less volume? Did you do, I mean, obviously the weights would be different, but was there anything different that you trained being A, young, B, a woman, C, training for a different class? Or did you just go full noise into everything he was doing?
Pretty much, yeah, just full noise into everything Auntie Shana was doing. Like, I'd been training in the gym a bit before that. It was pretty much just like single muscle group stuff. So getting on the same bandwagon as the boys and, yeah, worked out pretty well. And last year I had like a big train in my a big change in my training. Like I came out the year and I was like, this year I want to work smarter, not harder. Like I want to like have sufficient rest days so that I'm like preparing my body for a hard training session. I want to be mentally prepared for that session, go in, leave it all in the gym, train hard and make sure all my sets are a failure, the ones that I want to. And with Connor, I've been training like a top set and a back off. So that's kind of what I did throughout prep. Was just like a pull, which was hamstrings and back, which is quite a sufficient day for figure. And then I had a leg day, a push day, and then we also made an arms day as well, which is kind of just a bit more of a chill day just to have when you're on prep and like low energy and whatnot. So training was good. Like I actually hit PBs in a deficit, so I was like, I was pretty wrapped, like I was lifting weights that, you know, I hadn't. And me and Connor at first in prep, like my weight wasn't really moving like down, you know. I was like kind of, I pegged him at around 56 kilos and then my weight came back up, you know, 58, but I was eating like more food, training harder, getting PBs. So I was like looking at it like, yep, we're putting on a bit of muscle here. And then when I got back down to the 56 again, I was like, I was leaner 56, so I was happy. And I was kind of unsure of where my body weight was going to be on stage at first, like, because I was like, shit, I was 47 kgs last time. Am I going to get that low? Like, that's why I was freaking out. My body weight wasn't coming down. But then I started getting lean, really lean. And about 55, I was like, yeah, I know I'm not going to go on stage at 47 kgs, you know.
Hey, Georgia, one of the things, I just want to grab it before we move on. I think you're miles ahead of where I was, probably Mike, yourself. I don't know about you, Shane, but at 20 years old, when you're thinking about, I want to have sufficient rest days so that I come into my training sessions and hit those training sessions with everything I've got and I leave myself, you know, there's nothing left at the end of that workout, and then I come out and I rest and recover. Because most of us just kind of went in at that age, I'm going to smash it, we're going and smash weights, no concept of rest and recovery, no concept of...
I'm like that now, bro.
I've only learned in the last year, you know, to, you know. So I think, you know, wherever you picked that up from, whether it's Shane, whether it's Connor, whether it's your studies, etc., I think it puts you in a really good position that others at your age and actually others at any age should really be thinking about, you know, am I training hard enough? And am I having enough rest? And am I just, when I'm in the gym, am I doing everything that I need to do? And then once I'm out of the gym, I go and concentrate a bit on balance and my whānau and other things in life. and kind of have that big picture rather than, you know, my one track mind bodybuilder, go and smash it, do it the next day, do it the next day, and find that by Friday you can hardly walk or talk, or, you know, and all you do is live bodybuilding. So I think, you know, you're in a pretty good place for a big future.
Thank you. Yeah, I just like, what's the point going and, you know, training chest, you train chest the next day and then you're doing shoulders the day after or something, you know, like your shoulders are clearly going to be fatigued from the previous day. So, yeah, that's been a real, like, I've really enjoyed training this year and made some massive, last year and made some massive changes and really, like, had a big switch just end of last year. So I'm going to go for a powerlifting comp in March. So that's just gonna, you know, give me a bit of motivation coming off a show. You'll all know what it's like, you know, you're really motivated in that show. It's like do or die, you're gonna do anything, and then you come off it and you're like, oh, what am I doing now?
Yep.
So I'm just been working on form and technique at the moment, and then we'll build the weights back up, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And
which powerlifting comp are you going to do? Do you know what federation and things?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure on what at the moment, but I know it's kind of end of March in Wellington. So,
cool. Yeah. Oh, we'll keep an eye out. And if you find out, we'll promote it anyway, just so people know it's on. So, yeah.
Yeah, me.
I think, like you said, at a young age, you've been exposed to a lot. So, you know, coming into a comp prep with me and just bash them up styles. And then, you know, like us growing up, we learn everything out of magazines and out of experience and trial and error, all the biggest guys in the gym, you know what I mean? I think the younger kids now have so many educational points that they can tap into. And it's just a matter of learning and progressing and taking on. See, they speak different languages these days, you know, push and pull and rest and all this. Like, I know it all, but I'm still old school, bro, you know what I mean? And I just think it's just a matter of, I think George is spending enough time with me and having a couple of different experiences in a couple of different pockets. She's honest enough with herself to be able to go, hey, this works. I learn all this, put it all together, this is what works for me. Yeah, so I suppose she is really lucky to be able to have some good people around her. A lot of people don't have that, you know? There's four or five people that she can get good learning points from.
Yeah, mature beyond her years from a training perspective. You know, the ability to individualise your program for yourself at such a young age.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like, what worked for me won't work for everyone else, you know? Like, with training, with diet, so yeah, I've kind of got myself over a sweet spot at the moment, and yeah, looking forward to what gains we can make before some shows this year. So yeah, we'll aim for natural nationals and probably tournament of champs again.
Wendy, in that scientific background, are you very systematic with what you do? I mean, if you're learning what works for you quite quickly, is that because you're very systematic with your diet and your training and you record and analyse and sort of experiment and that sort of so on?
Yeah, like I log everything. Like I log all my weights, and I'm like, yep, last week I got 7 reps. I'm getting 8 this week, and I'm not going to quit till I'm getting 8.
Look, bro, this is our systematic here. Here's some notes for the podcast.
Wow.
Oh, I just wrote out.
Now, you imagine that for every single workout we do, or she's done, post, and everything that she eats, it's all recorded. It's all analyzed. She's very, very systematic in everything. So, you know.
That's the Frank Zane-like. Very much Frank Zane-like. Very absolutely analytical. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Mike, should I just smack out a couple of these questions first while we've got, while we're on the, Stim Rat, so Damien down in Otago, has asked a question of you both. What's your favourite muscle group to train?
Oh, you know, it's his chicken drumsticks.
Yeah, back. Quads for me, always legs. Legs for me, always.
Oh, hey, just another quick one. Do you do any body fat measurements or any anthropometry to kind of measure that side of things, your body composition or muscle mass?
Yeah, Yep, so at Massey, this year I've had like a bit of access to like the BOD pod and like Dexter scan, stuff like that. So it's quite cool to go through prep and see the body fat go down and, you know, things like that. So I think
what were you on the Dexter scan, do you know?
I think I got down to like 14 or something, but it's real weird for females. I was, you know, shredded, but my body fat was still reading quite high, so
Well, women tend to, you know, shredded for a woman, sort of, you know, 10, because they carry so much, this, you know, sort of subcutaneous or internal.
I think I got that at 4 weeks
out too, so, yeah. A DEXA scanner would take the guesswork out of it, wouldn't it? You know, the data you're getting is going to be as objective as you can possibly get, really. So, you know, if your measurements are coming down there, it's not a case of, you know, holding more fluid or less fluid, or the person taking the caliper measurements took them differently. A DEXA scan is a DEXA scan, you know? So, fuck, what a neat tool to have access to.
DEXAs can be a bit variable when it comes to your hydration levels. So they're not perfect, but they're pretty good.
I remember I was fasted, I was starving, I'd done fasted cardio, and they're like, coming at 11, it's like, do you understand I'm 4 weeks out?
Pretty cool tool to have access to.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the BOD pod's more accurate though. That's what I've learned in my study, so I have to look back under my notes.
We should find if you can find someone that can come and talk to us about those things, would be fucking neat. Just because I'm a geek and I love that kind of stuff. So if you find someone at uni that's, you know, someone doing their PhD that works with it, and, you know, it would be cool to talk to someone like that. You know, find out.
I'm a real nerd. I love the street behind it.
Nice.
Well, it must be awesome to kind of go, is my arm workout working? Jump on the DEXA scan, you know, it gives you the segmented sort of muscle lean body mass, as well as the body fat on each segment as well. So you go, is my new arm program working? Are my arms getting bigger? And the DEXA scan will tell you if you've got more muscle there. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Sorry, Georgia. Probably. Sorry, Georgia. We kind of cut you off on that question. So we've got Shane's favourite part was quads. What was your favourite body part to train for Damien?
Oh, probably have to be the wings.
I was going to say it had to be back all those lat spreads you're doing. Shane, this is probably a question thrown out to you. Josh down at Olympic Gym down in Mosgiel has asked a question. What is the most productive way to train legs? Is it to train all the parts in one session with one muscle as a focus, or train only quads one day and hams on a separate day?
What about the glutes?
I've always only trained legs one day a week and the whole hams, glutes.
Genetics.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I train legs one day a week. I have done splits in the past, but I find my legs maintaining and continue to grow just doing one leg day a week. I train calves once a quarter. Here's the random thing. My best muscle groups is probably calves and triceps, and I train them the least. So I don't know. My legs I can train once a week and they grow. I can train chest once a week, two times a week, three times a week, nothing. So legs once a week has always worked for me, so I just stick to it.
Georgia, your thoughts on that?
What's your thoughts?
I'm kind of the same. Like, I haven't really done too much like split muscle groups. If I've done like in the past, I've definitely trained legs twice a week. Or at the moment, I've kind of got like a leg day, and then I'll have like a top up day where I also do some more glutes and hammy. So, like, I just find you've just got to get what works for you. Like, obviously, it's in Auntie Shano's genetics to have those quadzilla drumsticks. So, you know, like, you just got to work with your strengths and focus on your weaknesses.
I've found with quads, though, once a week is sufficient for quads. But if you do more work on hamstrings and glutes, they become more detailed. Mm. So I think for size and shape, once a week for quads is work. But if I need to dial the hammies and the glutes in, like, when I did that WFF comp, I trained glutes every day for 16 weeks, every day. And I got striated glutes. the last comp, you know, last couple of comps, because I was in Classic and I didn't have to show the glutes, I barely trained them. And when I dialed in, they didn't come in. They weren't there, sort of thing. So, and same with hamstrings. I trained a whole lot more hammies into that other prep and they were more detailed. And I backed off them a little bit in this one, and they didn't come in as lean or as detailed. So I think those ones for me need more work. But quads, they just
interesting you say that, because Anthony Morris made the same comment about glutes. He said he was sort of hammering away on them on an almost daily basis to get them get the striations in. So there must be something in it.
Presumably that's at the same sort of conditioning level, same sort of body fat levels, because the general thinking is that you can't spot reduce, right? You can't just get rid of fat off your glutes by training your glutes. But clearly what you guys are saying is that training them all the time is not serrated.
I believe in spot reduction, me personally, because any muscle group that I've trained and focused on intensely with more volume is leaner. You know, like I don't train abs all year, and that's the only part that I hold any fat or water on. And same with glutes. You know, if I train the glutes, they get leaner. So the guys I train with, like Koro, he's always like, no such thing as spot reduction, mate. You're full of shit. And I was like, bro, we've just proven it in the last couple of preps. You know what I mean? So
do you think it's spot reduction, though, or do you think it's a case of, you know, you're either getting more hypertrophy in that muscle so it's actually bigger and more defined, or it's holding more glycogen because you're constantly stripping it out and reloading it, stripping it out, reloading it, and it's just showing more rather than the actual percentage of fat in the area?
I think it's all three combined, to be honest. I think it's all three. I don't know. But
cool.
Well, yeah, for me it was pretty cool to like see the glute ham tie in and see some like definition more in my legs through prep. Like I never really got that the first time I was lean, just probably because I didn't have enough muscle there. But yeah, I find like the Romanian deadlift was a big exercise for me that I focused on during prep and really helped to bring that glute ham tie into the stage. So
yeah, this has got no scientific background at all, so it's bro science. But I feel like when you lean down and you put body fat back on, it tends to go on more evenly. So even at the same body fat level, you look leaner because it's more evenly distributed over your body. So potentially the first time you lean down, you didn't lose it all off your legs, goes back on slightly differently. Next time you lean down, goes off evenly and the legs show out a bit more.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Who says bro science is not legit, bro? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, it is. It comes on more evenly everywhere. It's not like it all just jumps into one place.
And yeah. to be fair, when you're working in the sort of bodybuilding field, there's a lot of things that we kind of know anecdotally that there just really hasn't been the research into. I'm sure people have looked at them, but, you know, I remember way, way back, and this goes back to about 93, I did a study at when I was at Massey, and the common scientific opinion was that anabolic steroids did not enhance muscle mass beyond what normal training and things would do. Now, 40 years ago, bodybuilders knew that this wasn't the case, you know, and, it, you know, obviously over time that's changed, and I guess the science has caught up with that. So maybe some of that stuff that's a little bit more, you know, reduced, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everything's evolving and growing so fast that from the educational perspective, it's always going to be behind because it's always chasing, right? It's like the elite athletes that at Olympic level that are taking steroids and get found out 20 years later. You know what I mean? Because the education and the research is behind.
And you can test and it not show up in some particular.
Technology
and stuff is evolving more than the test.
I did a study on recovery modalities, and it was saying that there was no overwhelming or no significant evidence to support that massage, hydrotherapy, things like that, increased recovery. But I think if you ask yourself, you know, from your own experience, if you're getting massage, if you're getting hydrotherapy, if you're doing those kind of things, you recover a shit ton quicker. And I would sort of say, I don't give a fuck what science is behind it. I know that that works for me. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Feel better.
Probably, look, that was quite a long time ago that I did that. So it's probably caught up and now I'm sure there's studies that support that. Yeah.
I think with the body fat being coming back more evenly spread too, you know, when I started competing again about 4 years ago, I never had separation in my quads or my hamstrings all year round. And I'm back at those sort of weights when I first started dieting, but I keep my hamstrings and my quad separation all year now, because just managed, got rid of the body fat and just managed to keep it down or be more evenly spread. So back to Mike's point, I'd agree with that too.
Yeah, I agree too. Like right now I'm sitting around 58, 59. So peak week I was fluctuating 53, 54, obviously like off creatine and, you know, depleted once you get to that, you know, final weigh-in. But like I'm a much leaner 58, 59 than when I first started the prep and coming back down. And I'm like obviously also back on creatine and pushing the food quite a bit at the moment. So would be holding a bit of food in the stomach.
Cool.
Hey, that's one weird thing.
I've got a question for both of you. And this is again from Josh. He's wanting some advice on upper chest thickness. He's saying, what exercises would you recommend and which ones would you avoid? Obviously, I think he's talking from an injury perspective. So what exercises would you recommend? What sort of reps and frequency, etc.? Upper chest thickness. Thoughts on that, Shane, Georgia?
Incline, either barbell, dumbbell press. And if he's working around an injury, you might want to push the volume out a bit and have more controlled reps and hip failure that way rather than trying to push heavier as dumbbells that are just going to make his injury worse.
For me, I always did, not that my upper chest is predominant, but probably a good 15 years ago it was, and I think it was Franco or Arnold in those days, doing the incline press to your throat instead of down here more, so a lot higher up. On the Smith machine, and then just I think on dumbbells and even on the bar, not coming too far down, yeah. You know, so you're stretching it just, yeah. You know, and just having that, yeah, right? Having that my muscle and I find holding at the top of the exercise and putting the weight onto your upper chest helps more. So coming more to the throat as opposed to the upper chest, that seemed to work and bringing along up here, and then also just like I always sort of superset with a dumbbell, close grip dumbbell press.
Yeah.
So down to here. So I might do incline Smith to the throat, you know, 10, 15 reps, and then drops it to a close grip dumbbell press.
And then knowing you, you'll giant set it with a cable fly or something.
Yeah, and then giant set with something else. But
I like that. I'd actually forgotten about the press to the throat. It's something I did way, probably 20 years ago. And I'd completely forgotten about it. So
that's where it's from. Probably 20, 30 years ago, I started doing it. And I've always found that always works if I just want to target that area. My chest is my weakness, so I'm always trying to find ways to get some growth there.
Yeah, I want to get the 30s on incline dumbbell, so that's a goal for this year.
You hear that, Mike? You hear that, Mike? Me too. All good. All good. Hey, should we jump across and have a quick look at your Insta and have a look at some of these photos from the show?
Yeah, for sure.
Right, so here we've got George's page, so gpatch_fitness. So you can see your details up there. And there's some really good photos on here, some really cool training ones. I haven't pulled them all up, but I found that one. Love it. Gold. And you can see that you've obviously been training those quads pretty hard because both of you have got a good set of sticks in that photo.
Well, I had to catch up somehow.
I think that was arm day.
Yeah, still got to tense the quads though.
I like the pink fucking leopard skin fucking things you've got on there, Shane, mate.
I like those. I like those too, bro. Hey, when you're training your own gym at home, you can wear it. Anything.
Refins.
Yeah, it's when I go to other gyms and I wear that, I get a couple of sideways looks. But hey, bro, you could relate to this. I'm now that guy at 43 years old. I'm now that old guy in the gym that's wearing the old black and blue singlet and those fluoro poo pants. Remember those days?
Yeah, man. I love that shit.
Yeah,
man.
I'm like the older. I bought the mullet back last year, so I'm sort of like that old guy in the gym that's sort of still hanging on to his youth a little bit, and I like that, so I just roll with it, you know.
I'm like the guy that lives in his van in the car park at Gold's, man. I brought back the headband, so I'm rocking a headband now every time I train. I love it.
That's good, bro.
Yep.
Yeah, love it, man. Love it.
Right. So here we go. You want to talk us through these photos, Georgia?
Yeah, so I was pumping up backstage, actually, and I didn't even know that I was up first. So I was freaking out. I was like, what am I doing? I was doing like a full body workout and didn't really know what I was up to. And then I walk out and I hit my front pose like that, walk to the front of the stage, hit another front pose, and I just got really nervous and I forgot to turn to the back. So then I just put my hand off and walked off. But yeah, a little bit of a stuff up there, but it didn't look too bad on stage. So
how did you go with the whole like hair, makeup, presentation, bikini stuff? You don't strike me as a girly girl. So how did you go with the whole emphasis that bikini has on the presentation side of things?
She's a bit of a tomboy. She's a bit of a tomboy, but I think she even surprised herself with how good she looked when she put a bit of makeup and a tan and then got the girly stuff on.
Yeah, no question you look good. It's just some people are more comfortable with that girly stuff than others.
Yeah. Like, it's nice to have yourself all glammed up, and I guess it just gives you a bit more confidence on stage. So it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, good lineup there, eh? Good lineup.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Right, and here we are in figure.
Yeah.
I can see you like that, class. You can just tell.
Felt a lot more comfortable, eh? Yeah.
Yeah. After going out on bikini, I just and the little bit of a stuff up, I was really amped and real, like, nailed my routine for figure, and yeah, just loved it.
Cool. Yeah, and what a show. I still rave on about that show, Shane. It was a fantastic show, and you know, I think it kind of set the bar for hopefully 2021 we see some shows that sort of keep to that standard.
We're all doing tournament champions this year, aren't we, Nate?
Possibly.
I think, yeah, that's it. I think we just try and create an atmosphere and environment that the athletes enjoy and that they feel really comfortable, and then obviously, you know, make it about them, you know, with the prizes and that type of thing. So with the whole COVID thing, I was happy how it all turned out. It wasn't to the level that we wanted to, but given the year that we had, like, it worked out. It was just a good way to finish the year for bodybuilding, you know, for the IFBB in general.
Yeah, it was such a privilege for me also to do Auntie's show after, you know, having the guidance through him for the last 3 years too. Yeah. I remember that shot. I was like looking at you.
Also another good lesson to learn too, like G was prepped by Connor, and she stuck to everything he said 110%. And anyone, you know, she came to me and I had a look at her and told her she was tracking. And never any time I say, you need to change this or whatever. I think anyone that's getting prepped by someone, especially in those later stages, you know, the last week or whatever, if you're prepping with a coach, you got to stick to them and follow everything they say 110%. And I said to G, some of the things that you're doing or have done is different to me, but it's working for you. And what you need to do is stay true to the process and follow it through. and learn from it. You know what I mean? Some of these things might work for you, some of these things might not, but follow it through, and then you can be better for it next time. And she did that, and to her and Connor's credit, she pulled out really nicely, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. Awesome. I love it. That's a cool photo, hey? It's really cool. Love it.
Awesome.
In the good light.
Great photo.
It's pretty weird coming off a show, though, for sure. Like, you know, you're like, you know, now I'm like eating three times as much as I was on prep, pushing the food. It's like kind of like top end pushing the food, I feel, is, you know, just as hard as when you don't have much. But like, I'm just grateful I'm not starving, so I'm good.
Yeah. But you still ate on prep.
Yeah, I did eat quite a bit on prep.
I was watching all your meals go, man, you're eating more than me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, about now training days to me around 3,200 calories. So it's quite a lot for someone my size. So
a young lady.
that's what I'm currently on, 3,200. But yeah. Maybe I need to have a word to my boss and tell him that we've got some figure girls that are eating more than me. No.
I build metabolism up, and make that next prep easier, have a high starting point. It's not like don't do anything in the off season. It's, you know, you've got to be productive in the off season to make your next prep easier. I feel like a lot of bodybuilders, they kind of fall off the bandwagon in the off season and just expect to come into their next prep after not tracking macros and not having a consistent diet that they can just diet down. You know, it's like, it makes the job a lot easier, not just for your coach, but yourself when you're consistent.
Doing the work all the way around.
Yeah. That's good in the off-season, though. You can have a bit more balance and whatnot. So,
well, Nate corrected me. Apparently, we don't have an off-season anymore. What did you call it? There's prep and improvement season. Improvement season, not off-season.
Yeah, the name for everything now, bro.
Yeah.
Reverse dieting. Yeah. Calorie deficit, surplus, what do you call it, maintenance, all these or new terms that have come up over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it was good to be able to reverse diet out of the show like a month before Christmas. Like, I would have hated to come off the show and, you know, like Christmas is a week later, like it just wouldn't have been on because would have just, my body wouldn't have been used to the higher calories before I'm eating all the high calories. And yeah,
I'm still off season, which is just eat everything and anything.
Are you prepping at the moment, Shane, or what are you doing? Because
I'm supposed to be, but my I'm not competing to October now because Classic Pro Division's at Nationals October 9th, I think it is. Yeah. So like my official prep start will be June 1st at the latest. I have a 4.5 month or 5 months or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So yeah. Not yes and no. I'm working harder than what I usually typically do in the off season, but I have to weigh in at, I think I'm 90 kgs now, and I have to weigh in at like 75, 76. So it's like,
ouch.
You know what I mean?
Ouch.
What do I do? So I have to sort of, you know, grow my shoulders and my back, and I just have to improve areas. You know what I mean?
Oh, do you have to make weight for?
You have to make weight. So it's like, it's not like I can grow. You know what I mean? Well, I can. I know where I need to grow muscle, but I've sort of got to change my whole body shape without getting too much bigger or heavier. So it's, but I do find, you know, and when I'm fully prepping and everything's, you know, precise, my body changes fast. You know what I mean? Once I go into the way that I train and the way that I eat and this and that, if I do train my glutes more, my shoulders and my back, whatever, they all sort of grow. So I know the areas I need to improve for that classic category.
And you're training hard all year round too, you know, like.
I still train 7 days a week. Like,
and when you've got to put the foot down, you'll put it down, you know, like when you've got to,
Yes, that's
do what's needed to be done, so.
I did plan on putting on a whole lot of size in my back and shoulders, but then my weight just gets way up there, so it's a little bit.
Sounds like George is going to do your nutrition plan for you this time around.
I'm looking what she's eating. It looks good. I don't know. I'm still old school. I'm still old school. So it's like
don't have no sugar-free sauces in
your. Oh man, I think last prep was the first time I had cheat meal ever, and I had KFC. What are those burgers with no buns called?
Oh.
You know the KFC burger with no buns?
The double down.
Double down.
Never had one.
So I
never tried it.
You know.
Never tried it.
I had a...
I'm always having the buns. I don't know what those are.
So I had a cheat meal, one cheat meal Saturday, Sunday for 16 weeks or 20 weeks or whatever it was. And it was a KFC double down. One on Saturday, one on Sunday. I eat more KFC in that prep in 16 weeks than what I ate in probably 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't even had KFC this year or last year. You know, I don't know. You know, probably twice in the whole year.
I want his coach. I want KFC every weekend. Oh, that's gold.
But I still just the old way. No sauces, no salt. I don't know, a little bit old school. I did find just before Nationals, because I was in Vegas for 10 days or whatever, and I just had no plan. It was just oats and eggs for breakfast and then chicken salad for every other meal. I did find that at nighttime I could have a dessert or some protein bars or whatever, and it didn't affect me whatsoever. I got a DEXA scan over there. I was 6.6%, I think, and I had Cheesecake Factory the night before, so I was pretty happy with that result.
Well, especially when you're 2 weeks out around that, your body is so insulin sensitive, and you know your body's responding like I remember when I was I'd been away on an adventure trip and I ended up with food poisoning and got like a bit sick, and like I was real flat and depleted after that, and I was like, Connor, I need some carbs, and then waited a little bit until I hit a new low, gave me maybe like 1,000 calories worth of carbs that day, and then just, you know, pushed the weight down even further. So like, you know, your body's just responding so quick, and you can see why it wouldn't affect, because it's just going to, you know, get used up.
I was eating every hour and a half. I was so hungry all day.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you hit that. When you hit that state, like, you know, like guys will go, I need a refeed, and then they'll have a refeed, and in the morning they'll weigh less than they did previously, and it's like, what the fuck just happened to that food?
Yeah,
you
that
know,
does
evaporates.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Hey, look,
we're
gonna come to a close pretty soon, but I want to hand back to you, Georgia, and let you do a bit of a shout out to those people that have helped you along the way and to people that have supported you. And Shane, if you want anyone to shout out to, then floor's yours, guys.
A big shout out to actually Sarah Malthus. She was my counsellor when Mum first passed away and gave me quite a bit of guidance and figure. So I actually got some posing through her with prep, and I was real grateful to have an IFBB pro like guide me. A big shout out to my coach Connor and his partner Hin. You guys are amazing and made my experience so much better than what it would have been if I didn't have you guys. So yeah, really appreciate you guys. A big shout out to Nutrition Systems, Auntie Shano and his whānau for putting this show on, because I wouldn't have been able to do my first show, and I wouldn't have been able to feel, you know, how amazing it is to compete. And yeah, I really love that experience. Also a big shout out to Darren Dingle. We were like this during prep, we'd do our 60 minutes deaf inclined walk bastard. and a big shout out to my mum. It was really hard not having you at the show there, but I know you were there in Wairua, and everything that I do it for you. So, yeah, I love you, Mum.
Me. Awesome.
Oh, I think from me, I'm just proud of you, G, for all that you've achieved. And, you know, for what I do and who I am, it's just good to be a positive influence and role model and help people out and just see them exceed their own expectation and conquer mental and physical goals. So it's been cool seeing you
conquer coaching.
Yeah, it's been cool seeing you develop and make it to the stage, you know what I mean? It's not easy to make it to the stage, so I was proud of you to get there. And you know, from a auntie's perspective too, it was shout out to Darren, Connor and Hin, because I saw the work and the support that they put into you. So, kia ora to that. And, you know, that's pretty much it for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you both very much for coming on and being fascinating and really cool to see someone at such a young age, having already experienced so much and having a really good body of solid knowledge behind them. And I guess from us, we'll be watching you very closely over the next few years, and we'll actually probably share the stage with you at some stage soon, which will be fucking awesome. So it'll be a bit of a generational thing going on there. It'll be really cool to watch you going forward. So again, thank you very much for coming on, and to all our people out there, stay safe, have a great week, and we will catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
Thanks for having us. Hey, Grisby.
Keep doing what you're doing. Awesome.